Ladies of Growing in Christ Grace, be encouraged today. Every challenge, every disappointment, every closed door, and every painful season is not evidence that God has abandoned you. Often, it is proof that God is actively growing you, shaping you, and preparing you for greater spiritual maturity and purpose. In a world that measures success by comfort, recognition, and instant results, it can sometimes feel as though you are losing when life becomes difficult. Yet, as daughters of God, we must remember that spiritual growth often happens in hidden places, in seasons of stretching, pruning, surrender, and perseverance. What feels heavy today may very well be the very thing God is using to strengthen your faith, deepen your dependence on Him, and conform you into the image of Christ. As you listen to this message, I encourage you not to view your present circumstances through the lens of defeat, but through the perspective of discipleship and spiritual formation. Every trial is an opportunity to press closer to God. Every hardship is an invitation to trust Him more deeply. Every act of obedience is producing endurance, character, and unwavering faith within you.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, woman of God, for the prayer. So tonight, the message is, you're not losing, women of God. You are growing. So I welcome you to Growing in Christ Grace. I appreciate each of you, and I am grateful for your being here with us tonight. So before I get started into this message, I want to make clear that this message was first hitting home for me. During the final stretch of my doctoral program, I found myself lamenting, just outright complaining a lot about what felt like me was lost. What felt like me was strongholds that I couldn't get ahead because I was always chasing the next assignment, always trying to stay above on the next deadline, feeling like I was barely making them at times. And I didn't see that at the time, that I wasn't losing at all, that God was stretching me, that my dependence could not be on my academic talent. It could not be on my ability to write well, that this had to be about Him as it was from the beginning. God was challenging me and reminding me that it is because of Him that I live and that I move and that I have my being, and that this in which I have achieved through His empowerment has nothing to do with me and my goodness. It has everything to do with the grace of God and what His intentions and purposes are for me in the earth and for this particular ministry, Growing in Christ Grace. And so I want to open in saying that I believe that there is a necessary tension in the Christian faith that must be properly understood. And this is this, that while salvation is free, discipleship is not. We've discussed this before in the past on our series starting in January covering discipleship. That, women of God, that there is a cost to following Christ. It's important for me to point out that following Christ is not always about an easy road, and that this process is often involves many hardships and sacrifice. That the call to obey Christ and to fulfill the cause of His mission here in the earth requires many times weeping that endure for a season, disappointments that feel unbearable, trials that seem like they're never going to end. But I'll say to you in all of that, but God. We understand that salvation is a gift of grace, right? Salvation is a gift of grace. And this is secured through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it cannot ever be changed. But discipleship involves sacrifice. It involves surrender. Fully giving yourself away to following him. And this in turn requires commitment to devotion and obedience, but also entails intentional loss. So in continuing our teaching on discipleship, we're going to build upon the message, blooming where you are. And in that, we're going to gather a deeper understanding of this blooming, this growing, which is in essence the process of spiritual formation. Amen. Previously, Elder Watson discussed how believers must remain connected to Christ, remain connected to the vine, which is our source. She highlighted how abiding in Christ entails a daily posture of dependence, and over time, this abiding produces good fruit. So it is within this vein that tonight's message, you are not losing, you are growing, focuses on this journey towards discipleship and the commitment and cost of following Christ. It further discusses this issue of the good fruit, which is really a byproduct of Christ-like character that is being developed during this process of growing and maturing into a disciple. It is within this process of becoming a mature Christian, becoming a disciple, is where you're being shaped into the image of God. Oh, this growth can sometimes, though, feel like loss. Sometimes this very growth that you're experiencing in Christ looks like loss. And what do I mean by that? It means that as you spiritually mature and become more like Christ, which is Christian, Christ-like, and the less you look like the world, you will encounter challenging seasons and necessary shedding. As God, in his infinite wisdom, in this process, exposes for us those things and those people in our lives that are unprofitable for our growth. It means that the seed that he's planted in us, that those things no longer align with his perfect will for our lives. Therefore, it requires a shedding, a moving away, a withering away. It requires loss. And while, women of God, this experience is often difficult, and it is, Christ in Luke 14 demonstrates that it is the necessary work of spiritual refinement. Ladies, discipleship requires sacrifice. Being conformed and being molded to look like Christ, talk like Christ, walk like Christ involves several moments of change. Sometimes painful changes, right? But spiritual formation is a deliberate process of being transformed. The Word of God says that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? This is therefore a letting go of what once was, in order to rightfully prioritize Christ above all. And again, this process is often painful, and it feels like you're losing. It feels like loss, but you're not losing, women of God. You are growing. And so the challenge in this process is zooming out and zooming back in and get a different perspective of what change looks like and what growth looks like in the kingdom of God. We understand that the basic tenets of discipleship requires change. In the kingdom of God, we are moving from glory to glory. And in this kingdom, if you are not changing, If you're not moving from glory to glory, then you are not growing in Christ. If you're not laying aside some sin and weight, if you're not leaving behind those things behind which are not good for you, if you're not pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, then you're not growing. And so when we read the passage in Luke 14, 25 through 33, we get a chance to see what Christ was sharing with those disciples following him, that large crowd that had gathered to walk with him to Jerusalem. And in this passage, he's challenging them. He's laying out plainly for them what it means to be a disciple. And so let's read that in Luke 14, 25 through 33. I want to read it actually in its entirety because it's useful for this purpose. Amen. And so it says, I'm going to actually start with 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." He goes on to talk about two parables he shares with them. One is about a builder, and another one is about a king who is going to war. And in both those parables, Christ is making the point that if you do not contemplate, if you do not count the cost, deliberately contemplate, and if you do not count the cost before you set out on those assignments, then you have missed the mark. He says that in doing so, folk will look at you and say, "Look at that fool who started that project and could not even complete the project." It's what the word of God says. It says that this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. He first sat down and considered whether he is able with 10,000 men and so, and opposed to one coming against him with 20,000. Christ is saying that in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. So this is a focus on discipleship and its commitment and its cost. The text, in its paraphrasing and in its entirety, shows us that becoming a disciple of Christ will cost you everything. Mostly, as I pointed out last month, it costs you, meaning your hopes, your dreams, your desires, your plans, your dreams, and all the things that you established for your life. This passage informs us that entering into a relationship with Christ to be his disciple is not to be entered into lightly and requires, again, deliberate contemplation regarding these costs. However, before moving forward in the message, I want to step back because I think it's important to give historical and theological context of what's going on here. Because in doing so, it provides us with a better understanding of the text. So for one, the events in Luke 14 occurs weeks to a few months before Christ's crucifixion. And in the text, we can read the urgency of his teaching because it is reflecting his nearness of the cross. At this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus is traveling towards Jerusalem. This journey is purpose-driven. He is obediently moving towards his divine assignment, the redemptive mission of humanity. If you can recall in Luke 9:51, that point marks actually the turning point in Christ's redemptive mission. Scripture says in Luke 9:51 that as the time approached for him to be taken up, he resolutely sets his face toward Jerusalem. Women of God, Jesus is walking worthy of his call, right? He has fixed his completion of the good work that he began the moment of his conception through the Holy Spirit. Christ has set his eyes on the final and being the final sacrifice for the redemption of humanity. He is purpose-driven. And so in Luke 14, 25 through 33, we find a large crowd following Jesus. Many of these followers are drawn by the miracles and hopes for maybe a free breakfast or a lunch, and many misunderstand what Christ's mission is. Some wanted to earlier make him a king. Because based on their understanding of the Old Testament, is that when the Messiah come, he would be a conquering king that would reestablish the Davidic throne. But Jesus did not come to be a conquering king. Their expectations of a conquering Messiah did not occur. Rather, what they received was a suffering savior. And so as Jesus's mission changed, as he's drawing near Jerusalem, his approach and how he taught this large crowd and his disciples also changed. He moved from feeding crowds to filtering disciples. Jesus is using these moments to separate and weed out the genuine disciples from casual followers. And on this road to Jerusalem, where Jesus knew he would be crucified, he understood the mission. He understood the call for which he had received. He was in that time urging these followers to make a decision. He was urging them to decide if they wanted to follow him, to be his disciples. And in that, he was emphasizing the cost. He was informing them of the cost of what it would entail in following him. He wanted them to be fully assured. He wanted them to be completely aware and walking in assurance if they wanted to follow him, if they were willing to make that sacrifice. To lose everything, to completely give themselves away, to continuously do so without turning back and without compromise. So, in that, Jesus confronts this crowd. He confronts them with the sobering truth about what it really means to be his disciple. Rather than encouraging them with superficial enthusiasm, he deliberately clarifies the seriousness of discipleship and the level of commitment that would be required of them to follow him. See, Jesus knew what was ahead. He makes it clear that following him involves intentionally reordering your priorities. I mean, the scripture says that he says to them, if anyone is coming after me and does not hate his father and mother, does not hate his spouse and children, brothers and sisters, and even their own lives, you cannot be my disciple. I mean, Jesus, I don't understand why I have to hate Muddy and Big Mom. I don't know why I have to hate my family in order to follow you. I mean, it appears to fly in the face and become a contradiction of your great commandment of love. But in looking at this completely, we understand that that is not what Christ was asking the disciples. He was not asking them to literally hate their family members. In the first century, in Jewish context, this Hebraic expression is a meaning of comparison. It's not emotional hostility towards family members. No, Christ is instead urging his disciples to hate, not hate their loved ones, but make a decision about their love for him. And in this sense, to hate means to love less in comparison. Jesus is teaching that loyalty to him must surpass every other attachment that we have. This is not a call to reject your family, but it is a call to reorder your priorities so that Christ is supreme. So I want to stop right there and ask a question. And this is a question. What have you mistaken pruning for loss? I'm sorry, where have you mistakenly defined pruning as loss? What in your life have you mistakenly defined as loss? And instead, it wasn't lost at all. God was pruning you and refining you. Is there an episode or an occasion in your life where you've mistakenly defined pruning and refining? The floor is open.
Hi, good evening, ladies. It's Nadia. How are you? So glad to see everyone and that we're back together. So, okay, let me stay on track. Okay, so an experience where I felt that pruning was a loss. I had some setbacks in my career, just being self-employed, and I felt the pain of where I thought I was losing. Everything just kept going wrong. But in that, it caused me to really just lean more into God, lean more into his promises. And it helped me to develop a steadfast faith that I never would have had everything continued to go smooth. And I needed that faith for the chapter that I'm in now, because every single day that I do wake up, I have to lean wholeheartedly on God's direction and not mine. I would have never surrendered the way that I did if I had maintained the level of success I had before. So that's my truth, ladies.
Amen, amen. Nadia, that is beautiful. And I appreciate that. It's definitely an example of redefining your life in order to get a better understanding of what God was doing in your life. Oftentimes we mistake the mishaps or the things that are not going right in our life as the devil is interfering with us or we are failing somehow. And in these occasions, God is asking us again to zoom out and zoom back in and ask the question, could this be God at work? Could this be an instance of Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose? Is there someone else? Thank you, woman of God. I appreciate you. Someone else?
Well, I like to take a shot at that. One of my issues was having to separate from a church that I had been actively involved in for 20 plus years. But when I heard God said to give it up, I did. But it was a big separation, a big pruning for me. But what in actuality happened, I grew at this other location that he sent me to. And it took me a year and a half to find that out. But and I'm still growing, but I tell you, I'm able, I mean, even though a lot of people that was very close to me have separated, I've had situations where I've had opportunity to get back into the fellowship with them and we can see the growth in one another. So that was a big pruning that I had to give up.
Amen. Taking a leap and moving when God says move. That's always scary. I appreciate you, Sherry. Moving when God says move is always scary, but it's worth it. This is just obedience. And oftentimes our flesh get involved, right? Because what we're operating in really is fear. It's not wanting to move from what's familiar and moving into your next when you can't see it. But if God shows us the other side of the bridge, we wouldn't need faith. Faith is walking and obeying God when you can't see the next step. It's trusting God that despite what it looks like or feels like, God, if you said it, I'm willing to go. And this is exactly what Christ was doing. He knew he was heading to the cross, but yet he went anyways. He moved from glory to glory. And this is what Sherry was explaining too, because in that move, she was able to grow. And I believe that had she not moved, she would not have grown. Because we don't grow in disobedience, right? We grow in our fully being fully surrendered to Christ. That's discipleship. That's spiritual formation. It's being formed and molded into the image of Christ, looking like him, walking like him, behaving like him. And Christ obeyed the Father, even when it was tough. We all know the story of when he was asking the Lord to allow this cup to pass before me. Oftentimes we share that story as if Christ just was so happy about going to the cross. But that's not the case. He struggled with it. And he asked his Father several times, "Father, let this cup pass before me." But in the end, he said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." He moved from that place of being distressed about the cross to moving into obedience to answering that call. And that is walking worthy of the call for which we have received. That's what spiritual formation looks like when you're formed in being obedient to Christ, because that is a fruit of the Spirit. Being obedient is a part of the cause of Christ. That is discipleship, because you're shedding your will, your way, your understanding, your fears, and you're deciding that come hell or high water, I'm going on with Christ. So I appreciate that story, Sherry. It was spot on with helping us move into spiritual formation. I have time for one more. Okay, so in our trek towards discipleship and in our understanding of discipleship, we began to understand more clearly about what Christ is talking about in the latter part of that scripture when he says, "Pick up your cross, pick up and carry your cross and follow me," because that is a part of discipleship. Discipleship is renouncing personal ownership and control of our own lives. It's surrendering willingly what we desire to do. It's even agreeing to the suffering that Christ also suffered. And so, what is the central message here? It's clear that you cannot follow Christ halfway. Sherry could not have decided, "The Lord, I'm gonna follow you, but I'm not leaving this church. I've been in this church for 20 years. I'm gonna stay right here, but I'm gonna follow you." No. Discipleship is the intentional reordering of your life, of our life. It's not a loss. It's spiritual growth. Why? Because the refining process is where the lesser priorities are laid aside so that the devotion to Christ becomes central. See, discipleship is about the ongoing yielding and surrendering of us. Again, it's giving yourself away. It's what Romans 12 says, that I give my entire body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is what? My reasonable service. Everything about discipleship and being a follower in the kingdom of God is about serving him. We were created from the foundation of this world to worship and serve God. And the entire process of discipleship is about Christ, is about God, is about the redemption of redeeming what was lost in that garden. To make it plainly, God wants back what was lost in the garden. And he uses us as disciples to first be conformed to the image of Christ. And in having done that, we can go on then and make disciples of all men. We can then take this good news to the uttermost part of the world and share about the goodness of God. Believers in the process of discipleship, we are being shaped and strengthened and positioned to become more obedient. It's expanding our intimacy with Christ, our faithfulness, and our spiritual maturity. And why is this important? Because this teaching, discipleship, prepares us for the cost of discipleship in every area of our life, even unto death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. And what do I mean by that? Shedding off your old ways is not easy. And again, it's often painful. Leaving behind what was to walk into what Christ has for us, that's not easy. It's not easy to walk in the spirit that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but that's what we're required to do as disciples. The lust of the flesh is not sexual in nature solely. The lust of the flesh is fear, depression, backbiting, being unstable in all your ways, double-minded. All of those things are the works of the flesh. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is a stronghold. It is a hindrance to you, to us walking as disciples, being followers of Christ. And so Christ is impressing upon us in this passage to follow him completely. And when he says to us to hate your father or hate your mother, he's asking us, in essence, to give him the first fruit, to make him the head of our lives, to make him the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of our faith, to allow him to indeed be the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to allow him to order our steps in his will and in his way. Jesus, in essence, is forming resilient disciples in this passage. He's forming disciples who will endure the persecution that is ahead of them. Disciples who walk in full assurance of faith and not confusion, who are able to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord and not washed out by the hardships of this world after his ascension. He is not building a crowd in Luke. He is building committed followers who can withstand the pressure. Now, what does this mean for us today? I'm glad you asked. Christ is asking us to do the same today. He's asking us to prioritize him rightly, to let him be the Lord of our lives, not just on Sundays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays. He's asking us to do it every day, because discipleship is not a program. It's not static. Discipleship is an ongoing process of being renewed every single day. It's a daily commitment of taking up our cross to follow him, meaning to endure hardship, to endure persecution. And in the face of all that, be reminded that many are the affliction of the righteous, but remembering that the Lord promised to deliver us out of them all, that God didn't bring us to this place of spiritual formation to leave us there. And in his moving us from glory to glory, it's not picking on us. It's not making our lives hard or tough or challenging or leaving us in that trial that is heartbreaking. When you feel like you're suffering and suffering alone, Christ is using it. He knows it's hurtful, but he's challenging us in those moments to lean not into our own understanding, not in our own abilities, but to lean completely on him. Why? So he can grow us up through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You see, this whole thing is about growing the kingdom of God. And we can't do that if we ourselves are not equipped to handle the trials, the wiles of the enemy. We must first be able to recognize the enemy, to resist him, and so that he will flee. It's so that we can be steadfast, understanding that the enemy roams the earth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But a true disciple understands that I am not available. That though you may roam, and though you may seek, say that I am not available. I have a do not disturb on my life. Because why? This walk is not just about me and my next getting from him his riches and glory for my life. No. This thing is about the woman who sits next to me in church. It's about the woman who lives across the street from me or next door to me. It's about that family member who I know is suffering. Because being spiritually formed and in a right place where God allows me to go boldly to that throne of grace to find help in not just my time of need, but my neighbor's time of need. So that I may remain in a place to where my light is shining brightly, that I am salty and I'm able to be a savoring for those around me. You see, discipleship is about making ourselves available to Christ. And we understand that in this process, that discipleship and being conformed to the image of Christ, looking like Christ, walking like Christ, and talking like Christ, that ain't easy. It's not easy. Being a disciple of Christ, a follower, is not easy. You're talking about loving folks who insist on perpetuating division, not just with you, but unwarrantedly carousing a cadre of people to also hate you. It means forgiving people who, first of all, didn't even ask for your forgiveness and would never apologize or admit they were wrong. It's continuing to smile and help folk when every time you reach out, it feels like you're casting your pearls upon the swine. It's showing up when your body feels like you can't go any further. It's praying, rolling out of their bed when that clock goes off to pray because you made a commitment to God to pray. Not to check something off a list, but so you can be ready always. So you can be ready and positioned always to be useful for the kingdom of God. This is a place to understand that this thing is not about me. It's about God. It's not about any great or wonderful thing about me. It's about the glory of God. So that in this earthen vessel, God gets the best out of my life. Again, not just for me, but for you. But for all of those who are lost in this dying world, why? Because God is in the business of recapturing what was lost in the garden. This is what this whole thing is about. God wants back what was lost in the garden. And he is using us as disciples, as followers of Christ, to commit our lives, commit our ways to the cause of Christ. And what is that? Redemption. That none would perish, but all would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it takes us, disciples, to do that. And in doing so, we must first be spiritually formed. And in our spiritual formation, we understand that weeping does endure for a night. But joy, we understand, does come in the morning. But that only comes if you know the word. And in discipleship and spiritual formation, practicing your spiritual disciplines is first and foremost. Again, not so that you can get fat off the word, so you can rattle off a bunch of scriptures. It's about being empowered through the word, because we understand that it is the word of God that empowers us to fight the enemy. The enemy is not moved by our tears. He's not moved by our shouting and screaming to the top of our lungs. It's about fighting and shooting that word. When that word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, that's the weapon that we fight with. Because we understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that we're fighting against principalities and rulers of darkness in this world. And if we're going to be disciples of Christ, then we are making a commitment to submit ourselves and to surrender ourselves to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we may be useful for the kingdom of God. As disciples, we have to decide that despite the many afflictions that we are going through, I'm going on with Jesus. We have to decide to refuse to allow the cares of this world to so easily ensnare us and impede us and hinder our worthy walk. We don't want to just walk. We want to walk well. And in doing that, we must choose to remain steadfast, leaving behind those things that strangle, restrict, edit, hinder, and ward off our walk and prevent us from pressing towards that mark. It calls for us to make a conscious decision that though I have these hardships in my life, I cast that care upon God. It doesn't stop me from serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For this, I give him praise. For this is the purpose or the reason for why I was created, to serve him. And we do it. We do it because he first served us. He paid a price. He paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And he did it willingly. And we see this story in Luke 14, 25 through 33. That Jesus, just as I am tonight, was urging those disciples back there in the first century, you be certain that what you're signing up for, that you could be steadfast in completing. Because what lies ahead is a tough journey. You see, we have to put in perspective what was going on back there. That when Christ talked about the cross, they understood it to mean death and shame and suffering. They didn't have the benefit of knowing that there was a resurrection in the end. We have the word of God. We know how the story ends. But they didn't have that. They were experiencing this in real time. Which is why they were toiling. Which is why many were aching. And even we could read in other passages that Peter was downright just not going to have it. There's no way you're going to go to what you mean. But we have the benefit of knowing how the story ends. Not just in this passage, but over in Revelations. We know that we won. That we're already winners. And I say to you all, always, that living a victorious life is yours every single day. Because Christ has already died and paid the price for you to live victoriously. You see, because he came to give you life and life more abundantly. And in that giving, we are already victorious, not just today, but every day. Because victorious living is my right. Because he promised it. And we serve a promise keeper. And so despite what may feel like loss and what may feel like a tough journey, at the end of the day, because I live in him and he lives in me, I am already victorious. I have already overcome whatever it is that is going on in my life, and so have you. We understand that Jesus has called his followers to a life of intentional commitment. And in this intentional commitment, it requires careful consideration, deep devotion, and the willingness to prioritize him above all else. And in my closing, I encourage each and every one of you to consider this call to discipleship as it unfolds through a process of spiritual formation. And that when it often feels like you are losing, be reminded that you are not, that you are growing, that God is moving you from glory to glory. Scripture reminds us that growth is cultivated through seasons that stretch us and shape us. But Romans 5, 3 through 5 reminds us that character and hope are formed through perseverance. While Peter 1, 6 and 7 illustrates that faith is strengthened through refinement. So I encourage you, ladies, to be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, being assured that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So make a commitment to surrender and submit your whole life to Christ, to be a disciple and a follower for the cause of Christ. I bid you well. Good night.
Women of God, before you leave this website, I need you to understand this truth deep in your spirit. What you have been carrying is not wasted, and what you have been enduring is not meaningless. God is using every trial, every tear, every delay, every heartbreak, and every moment of stretching to shape you into the woman he has called you to be. The enemy wants you to believe that because the journey has been difficult, you are failing. But heaven declares something different. You are not failing. You are not forgotten. You are not abandoned. You are being refined. You are being strengthened. You are being transformed for glory. So don't quit in the middle of the process. Don't walk away because the pressure became heavy. Don't allow disappointment to silence your worship or weaken your commitment to Christ. Keep praying when it's hard. Keep trusting when you cannot trace God's hand. Keep showing up. Keep walking worthy. Keep carrying your cross. Keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, because there is growth happening in the crushing. There is purpose in the pruning. There is power being developed in your perseverance. And one day you will look back and realize that the very season you thought was breaking you was actually the season God used to build you. Ladies of Growing in Christ's Grace, stand firm in this season. Lay aside every weight. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Follow him fully and without compromise. And when life tries to convince you that you are losing, remind yourself of this eternal truth. In Christ, you're not losing, you're growing. You're becoming, you're maturing, you're being prepared for purpose. And the God who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it.